survive.
Blog Talk Radio.
That's it. And even if it means, you know, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and Courtney called up and her position was she was disgusted to hear Muslim terrorists considered to be zombies. And that nobody should talk about 100-to-1 revenge against these people. So, anyway, when I was thinking again that zombieism, I really think it does apply to this because if you have people whose only apparent interest in life seems to be killing, I mean, what else are you going to call them? They don't seem to have really any interest in what is traditionally important to human beings, art, culture, the things that make life enjoyable for many people across the world, their only idea in mind is some level of revenge. And somebody put out an interesting article that said, basically, and I think it was, let me get it here for a second. This is from Farid Zakaria. The Quran has no word for blasphemy. So, as in so many other things in Islam, how we define blasphemy or how we discuss what it means to be respectful doesn't have a direct translation from the Quran. It's more of a something that comes up that kind of appears out of history. But, you know, let's face it, any particular group that comes along and says, we have certain beliefs that you cannot make fun of or you will die, it made me wonder if people really wanted to, and this is one of my points, I guess, today, do people really, the option out there is what Courtney was saying was, we need to find out what offends other people and not do it. And the White House basically said something similar to that. What do you expect? You know, so you've got the ideal of free speech, and then you've got the reality of people that are willing to die for someone making a cartoon of the person they believe in. We do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show, and good morning to you. And who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Greg.
Hey, Greg. Good morning to you. And what's up? What's on your mind?
As you're talking here, we have a breaking development of the location of the second jihadist terrorist that killed that French police woman.
Yeah.
Who is being held right now. I believe in a grocery store with 5 hostages, including women and children.
Yes.
I had another idea as I was driving to work and you were fading away. As soon as we find out who these individuals' families are, we need to locate them and send them back to their original destination as well.
Well, I mean, I don't think that would be I guess it would. It might violate some people's ideas of civil rights, but why wouldn't you do something like that? I mean, you know, there's got to be some cost for this type of activity.
Well, keep in mind, Kelly, that there are no civil rights in Islam.
Yes, that's true.
So, and concerning Courtney, I didn't get a chance to hear her different side of things.
Greg, I could bring it up, but she was deeply offended that I had. I guess she has my show on her radio clock, so she wakes up to the show, and when it came on, it was blaring out about Muslims being like zombies, and also that I had Art had called in, and I said, "Well, what can we do?" And he said, "Well, what if we went and killed for every one of ours? We killed 100 of theirs, irregardless of, you know, family, kids, whatever." And I mean,
I remember that.
Nobody is really. I'm not suggesting that. I really don't think Art is. It's just that he was throwing that out there. I think there has to be a cost to these people, though, that goes beyond them just blowing their brains out, because they think by doing that they're going to heaven.
That is correct. Last but not least, I could only imagine that Courtney probably has a sticker on the back of her car that says coexist with all the religious icons on that sticker. The problem is that first icon there wants to kill all the rest of the icons.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You know, if I take Courtney seriously, what she stands for is the idea that, number one, you can't possibly offend anybody. And number two, if you do, it's on you.
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous. You know, you and I both know that. So all we can do is, you know, we're told in Scripture that we're supposed to comfort the feeble-minded, and I guess this is the perfect opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible says, maybe along these lines, be as wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. I mean, you got to be as wise as a serpent in this particular instance. I mean, these people are the very definition of evil, and they've convinced themselves they're representing God, but that doesn't mean that we bow down to them as they bow down to their God, or whatever you want to call it.
Good point, and let's not forget the lashing Jesus gave the religious leaders in Matthew 23.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you think it would be helpful to recategorize? I mean, we believe in freedom of religion in this country, so how do you square that with having a more strenuous categorization of religious violence and maybe even Islam itself?
I look at it this way, Kelly. When that particular religion goes out and kills innocent people, I agree with you. It's time to recategorize this cult and get them out.
Well, here's the question. It's not whether all of the members of this particular religion are violent. But we know that's not true, and it would be. But it's also a ridiculous standard. If all or virtually all of the attacks done in the name of God today around the world are done by one religion, doesn't that kind of put them in a separate category?
Absolutely. Totally agreement with you. Yes. It's high time to do something about it.
Well, what can
we do? Otherwise, like we said before, we're doomed.
We're doomed. If our standard of free speech is based on the Quran or based on Islam, or especially Islamic terrorists, which is basically what Courtney was implying, what kind of a society? We got to go back and live in caves.
Exactly. And get ready, everybody. Sharia law is coming to a neighborhood near you.
Well, it could be ramped up over here. I mean, we have such a free society. I don't see how they're going to keep it out.
Well, they sure are quiet over here on this side of town, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, anything else, Greg?
No, that's it. I'm sorry to bring you down, Kelly. I'll be keeping an ear out for you until you start to fade out.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Have a great day.
Bye, buddy. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. You know, I mean, I don't really disagree with some of what I don't agree with everything Courtney said, but I don't disagree with this idea that sensitivity means something. I don't think you should go out and try to provoke people, and maybe, you know, and certainly not, you know, killing innocent people. But, you know, speaking of killing innocent people, you know, when the Muslims are fighting in their own countries or in the Middle East, they do things like hide weapons in the kindergartens or in schools, and their fighters hide out in mosques and stuff. They're constantly kind of blurring the lines between these things. I mean, you can't attack a school, right? But I mean, obviously, but I mean, it's no wonder that there are casualties in the way that they fight. And they just have a totally different idea of warfare than we do. I've got a little clip here from USA Today on this: cornered French suspects vow to die as martyrs. This is from not long ago.
Helicopters swarmed overhead in a town 25 miles northeast of Paris as a massive police operation unfolded. is here where police say the two brothers suspected of killing 12 people during the attack on Charlie Hebdo were holed up with a hostage. People in the area said they could hear gunfire. Sharif and Saeed Kouachi are believed to be heavily armed. Nearby schools were on lockdown, and Charles de Gaulle Airport, which is close to the town, closed two runways as the standoff continued. The brothers were both on a U.S. no-fly watch list, and France's prime minister said both men were known to intelligence services there. France 24 reporters were closely watching the situation Friday.
We've heard from an interior ministry source that negotiators are at work and there's no question of storming the building right now. Of course, these things can change very quickly, but clearly there's some sort of talking, an attempt to defuse this peacefully.
A French lawmaker said the suspects told police by phone that they wanted to die as martyrs.
I don't see how they think they're to conclude this peacefully. I mean, it started off as a, all right, I mean, I don't blame them, but here's another phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Tom.
Hey, Tom, good morning to you, and what's up?
Remember the guy they killed from Crucis over there?
Yeah.
They bombed him from the with a Predator?
Yeah.
He's a U.S. citizen. What was he doing here in Crucis? Was he going to school, or did he grow up here?
I can't remember all the details on that guy, but he might have been.
But he was going to the mosque down here where the weapons are hidden.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Hold on 1 second, Tom. You've called the Kelly O'Connell Show. I'll put you on hold. Be right back. Tom, I mean, you... the court needs of the world, we're either going to change how we view these things or we're going to suffer and then change it. We're either going to change it before or after, but there's no way we're going to stick to where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's like making friends with the Nazis or the Japanese back
yeah,
in the
you
day.
Can't make,
it would be the same thing. We can't do that.
Like making friends with a zombie. anything else?
No, go ahead, Kelly.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Thanks for calling the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Bill.
Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
He was speaking of Iraqi. Iraqi was born here in Crucis. He was an American citizen.
Well, one of our own fine sons, huh?
Yeah, his parents were going, or his father was going to college out here at the university. He lived out there in university housing.
Interesting.
We've got to find a way to terrorize these people. Killing them is not enough. We've got to do it in a way that convinces them that they are not going to go to heaven. If you go back to the Philippine War, the Philippines and the Spanish-American War.
Blackjack Pershing.
That's right. He terrorized them. He doused them in pig's blood and entrails, and then he killed them all, and he turned a couple of them loose and told them to go back and tell the others what's going to happen. It stopped.
Well, we got to do something, and I don't know. I think that effective policy is based on things that are doable. I don't see the government doing anything like that. But we've got to. We got to switch gears.
I don't either, but I know that we've been over there chasing these people around now 3 times longer than we were involved in World War II.
Yeah,
and we haven't made a dent in it yet.
We haven't made a dent because I don't think we can really comprehend their worldview. I got to go to break, Bill. Was there anything else?
No, I'll let you go. Take care. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Folks, I'm going to take a break here. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. I wonder what the polling would say. You know, people are – listen to this. People are willing to accept some applications of torture or what – some people define as torture, waterboarding, or whatever. But I think people are willing to accept some level of torture given the circumstances of the situation, how dire it is, you know. And I'm wondering if people have any wiggle room on how they would respond to terrorism. Anyway, just think about that. 523-1450 and call in at 622 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM 1450, and we'll be right back.
Looking for a better way to shop?
This is a Friday. And
it is Kelly here, and let me just go over some of the headlines for you here. I've got a lot of stuff to go over today, but I might just let it. I've got a couple of guests that are going to be on briefly towards the end of the first hour and the beginning of the second hour, I guess. But I'm tempted to spend more time today on this attack than anything else, because I think it's I hate to say this, but I think this come to America. I hate to say that it's coming to America, but because it's already here. But I hate to put out a vibe that this kind of fatalistic it's coming. But I had a thought last night, and you tell me what you think of this. 5-2-3-14-50. I think that we ought to raise up these kids in these generations, these younger generations, and train them how to use guns and get guns in the hands of these kids. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, guys. Mike.
Mike, what do you think about as we're raising the kids, giving them gun training, and then maybe giving them letting them decide, and their families decide if they want to be carrying guns? Because it seems to me we need people armed to be able to protect ourselves from these situations.
Well, even Jesus said carry a sword for protection,
Okay, so I don't quite remember that part of it, but I remember him saying I remember Paul saying that the state does not bear the sword in vain. But anyway, Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering, Kelly, why don't we take this radical old bozo that we got in the White House, douse him with pig's blood, and send him back to Indonesia with his birth certificate?
All right. Any other thoughts on dealing with terrorism?
And I'd like to know, why isn't the Muslim community speaking out about this? They're so quiet. I was listening to Jerry Doyle last night on the radio, and he said, why are they so quiet? Why is it our problem and not their problem? It's their belief system.
You heard Tekashi.
Why aren't they
Mike, you heard you heard Tekashi say, when I said, what should we do about it yesterday, even Tekashi was saying that we need to put pressure on them to deal with it inside their community. Why is it our job? I agree with you 100%. Why is it our job to purify Islam from the outside?
And another thing, too, Kelly, it seems like what Albert Pike said is coming true, the clash of the cultures. This Muslim, this Islam is a political movement, and it's like Albert Pike said. He said political Zionism and Muslim Islam are going to be a clash. The cultures are going to clash. And it's the atheists that are going to sit on the sidelines watching it. Then they're going to come in for the kill. And this is
Mike,
why I say Obama's an atheist, because I think he's just a radical.
Mike, hold on before you roll into your soliloquy here. Are you a Mason? Are you a member of the Freemasons?
No, my grandfather was. My grandfather was a master Mason.
Well, I'm not talking about building walls and stuff. I'm talking about being a member of the Freemasons. So
I have everything, Kelly.
Okay.
I've read them.
But you quote. By the way, Mike, how many dogs do you have?
Okay, I'm gonna let you know. I got five German Shepherds, Czechoslovakian Shepherds.
And what would be the weight of these things? What's the
100 pounds?
That's a lot.
They're big. I got them from Arizona when I lived there. There's a guy that's the sole importer of Czechoslovakian Shepherds in the country. His name is Hans. And I started out with two, and then I kept three from a litter.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't get rid of them. I didn't want to get rid of them. I fell in love with them too much.
Do they bark with an accent if they're Czechs?
And Kelly, my life totally changed. I mean, I used to just have two of them. I could take them everywhere with me. My life was simple. Now, I'm a prisoner.
Yeah.
I'm,
it sounds like it. It's maybe what you need is to develop a teacup, a German Shepherd.
Well, you know that song by Elvis? I'm caught in a trap.
Yeah.
I can't get out.
Well, it sounds like they're keeping your potential invaders in check, if you don't mind if you don't mind a pun there. Anything else, Mike?
That's it. Have
Thanks.
A good day.
Yeah,
Thanks,
you
guys.
Too. Have a nice weekend. Wow. Okay. All right. Here's a few headlines for you. Arabia debate erupts. Fear, paranoia in wooded area where suspects hunted. Police find abandoned car with Molotov cocktails, jihadist flags. Kuwachi rap video, female cop killed in separate parachute shooting, and I think she was a Muslim too. Before attack, French began ceding control of neighborhoods to Islamists. Jewish residents fleeing, wires, Reuters, AFP, Live France, 24. Everybody's got stories on this. Europe's anti-Islamization group looks to spread movement. Le Pen, who is part of the far right in France, time's up for denial and hypocrisy. Muslim cleric defends slaughter. New York Times deletes Islamic proselytizing during attack. You must convert to Islam, read the Quran, and cover yourself. Cleric asks radio hosts, are you Jewish? Islamic immigration to USA on rise. Britain's M15 warns, MI5 warns Al-Qaeda planning mass attack on the West. Second hostage situation at kosher market in Paris. Wow. Hebdo suspects cornered holding hostages want to die as martyrs. You heard it, folks. Crazy days. I've got a little bit of an Uncle Tupelo screen door, and we'll be right back. 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. Get your opinion on the record. I don't care if you're 100% opposed to what we're saying on the show. Just as long as you can back up your opinion with a little bit of argument and logic, bring it on. I don't even care if you're totally illogical. Bring it on. We'll be right back.
Down here, where we're at, where the change is, that's the way it goes. Sometimes it snows when everything's wrong.
Thank you, everybody. It is it's exciting to be here. Mainly, I'm quitting comedy soon, so I don't want you guys to worry.
It's Kelly here, and I've got another clip for you here. A second hostage has been taken, and this is from ABC News.
This is an ABC News special report. Terror in Paris. Now reporting, George Stephanopoulos.
And we are coming on the air right now because French police and SWAT teams have surrounded those two gunmen responsible for that massacre in Paris 2 days ago. It's occurring now in a town about 20 miles northeast of Paris, Dammartin-Guel, near the airport, the French International Airport as well, in a printing operation near that big white building you see right there. The entire village on lockdown right now, a major police operation, according to the Ministry of the Interior in France. And our Alex Marquardt is there right now. Alex.
Good morning, George. We are here in Dammartin-Guel. situation taking place a short distance behind me in an industrial zone at a small printing company. Those two suspects have taken at least one person hostage. And there's a massive security presence. They've dropped a huge net on this area. There are assault teams next to that industrial zone. There are police who have blocked off all the uptown on the highway, on the smaller roads. We were listening to the mayor just a short time ago, who has told all of the residents to stay inside and to lock their doors. Residents have told ABC News that they are indeed scared about this situation. One school teacher who told us that they are keeping all the kids in the schools right now said that the pupils are staying away from the windows, watching TV, singing songs, trying not to get panicked. An extremely tense situation here as the security forces try to, in the words of the Interior Minister, neutralize these two suspects.
Trying to neutralize the two suspects. There have been some kind of discussions that have gone on with the hostages as well. I'm going to go to Terry Moran in Paris. And Terry, this began to unfold several hours ago when it was discovered that the gunman had stolen a car of Peugeot and exchanged gunfire with police.
That's right, George. The Interior Ministry right behind me, that's the crisis center right now. French President Hollande was in there, but you're right. The noose was closing on these two suspects over the night and in the previous couple of days. 88,000 police and army troops searching that area, closing that noose, and in that stolen car, we are told by government officials, the brothers came upon a government roadblock on the N2 motorway right where they were searching, and in fact exchanged gunfire and then retreated into this industrial area that Alex has described. They took over this printing company. There are reports that there were civilians, clients of the company there, one of whom has reportedly told one of the French media outlets that he in fact shook hands with one of the gunmen, who he thought at first was a policeman, and the gunman told him, "You're free to go. We don't kill civilians." Right now, this is a standoff. French law enforcement officials expect that these are men who want to die as martyrs. That is what one official has said. So this is it. This is the showdown that 88,000 French law enforcement officers and the French people have been looking toward to see how this awful terrorist attack that happened on Wednesday will end.
They are warning as well. It could take several hours to unfold. Okay, thank you, Terry. I'm here with Brian Ross here in the studio. That message, according to the Interior Ministry, we want to die as martyrs, consistent with the actions of Al-Qaeda. And we learned overnight that one of the brothers, Saeed, had traveled to Yemen back in 2011.
Right. According to U.S. intelligence officials, actually traveled there to train with Al-Qaeda for at least a month. There is now huge interest, George, in taking these men alive to learn what they might know about others who train with Al-Qaeda who are still in France. There's a belief they are part of a hidden Al-Qaeda cell that was standing by in Paris for just this kind of attack.
Which is why the SWAT teams may be willing to be patient right now. Of course, we're going to continue our reporting. Much more to come ahead on GMA in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
All right, so we've got a extreme situation over there. Now, what is the difference between Paris or France or Germany? I could name all these countries that are really struggling to deal with Islamization, people coming in from other countries, but not just with foreign cultures, but with a foreign religion, and really setting their sights on making an impact on the culture. Possibly even taking over if they can. And you have to understand, in Islam, there is, I've mentioned this before, but there is Dar es Salaam and there's the Dar al Harbi. It's the house of war and the house of peace. It is the house of the believer, the house of the unbeliever. It's the house of God and the house of war. But the thing is that we have developed in the European, the history of Europe, the idea of a state, a nation state, not just cities, but a nation state with sovereignty and all this business. Islam does not accept that. Islam says you're either in the house of Allah or you're in the house of the unbeliever, and you can be killed, a kafir. We've got a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Courtney Kelly.
Good morning, Courtney. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning. I was calling to clear up some things and to answer Karen, who asked how I felt about them yelling "kill cops" in the street, and I just wanted to let you and her know that the same way, disgusted. And I don't feel like if anything for the position. The man who went and killed those two cops sitting in their car, I don't feel like he did that for Eric Garner, nor do I feel like he killed his girlfriend for Eric Garner. I think he put Eric Garner on his Facebook in order to get publicity on his death, in order to get his 15 minutes of fame before he decided to kill himself. And I think he was a coward, because that did not help Eric Garner in the least bit, and those cops had nothing to do with the Eric Garner case.
Well, I agree. I agree. Now, listen, I would have never thought that, and I don't think that Karen thought that you had any sympathy for that guy.
Well,
it's just to be put you on the spot. Here's the thing. If, let's just say, we started getting these type of attacks across America, let's just say that there was some plot and a lot of Muslims had infiltrated and we started seeing this on a fairly regular basis. It goes without saying we're going to have to adapt to that, right? I mean, we're going to have to change our strategy.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. We have fought for freedom, and we are free to do and act however we want, as America always, as it's plain and simple to see by our government and by a lot of people's actions. We are able to act and be however we want to. So, yes, he can't. The gentleman who made these cartoons and put his place of work in danger, he had every right to do that. Now, being that this happened in 2011, and knowing how the Muslims feel about their God, if you do that, then I am so sorry, but I cannot find the shock value in the fact that this happened. Now, do I think it's okay and that these people should go free and go on vacation? No, I don't feel like
no,
that.
No, but here are
but
my
do
questions.
Do I feel like we should put an all-out attack on Muslims?
Courtney,
No,
hold on a second. Nobody is talking about putting a total attack against all Muslims.
Well, but I was protesting against yesterday, and
You stirred the pot.
Yesterday on your show.
No, I'm glad that you called in. That was good, and it made me, you know, think about, like, you know, the power of radio, and I don't want to be seen as giving a rubber stamp to stuff that people say. But Art was talking off the top of his head. But anyway, listen, here's the thing. Are we going to give up our values? Are we just going to hand our values of free speech over and say, here, Mr. Islamic terrorist, you tell me what's acceptable?
No, I don't feel like we should give up our freedom of speech, but I just think that we have to be careful. I mean, it's just like walking up to a gay person, slapping them in the face and calling them the F word.
Hold on one second.
And if you do
put you on hold, be right back. Yeah, go ahead.
If you do that and he slaps you back in the face and kicks your ass, then at that point in time, can we really be shocked about it?
No, but Courtney,
that's all I'm saying.
I know, but you're throwing out our value. I'm slapping a gay person in the face is not a value that we hold up to. But what about freedom of speech? Are we really going to make a list of?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This person had the freedom of speech to go up and do this, and that's what I'm saying. The French man had all the freedoms of speech to go ahead and do what he did. And I'm not saying that it's legal for the man to get pissed off and to go and make the attack on the news station. I'm saying that I'm not shocked because it happened before, and we already know
agreed.
That they don't like that.
Agreed. And, you know, obviously I agree with you on one thing. If you're going to do something controversial, you've got to be willing to deal with the consequences or the danger. I agree with that. I've got another.
All I'm saying.
I understand.
I just want to make this one last point. Whenever 9/11 happened, and everybody was blaming every single Muslim who even walked the streets, Muslims couldn't even take the subway because they were considered terrible people, and people were attacking them personally when they personally had nothing to do with that.
I understand.
So all I'm saying is that there's bad people everywhere.
Okay, there's bad people everywhere. You too. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hello, this is Tom Garrity with the calling on behalf of Be Well New Mexico.
Okay, Tom. Can I put you on hold for just a second and run a few ads?
You bet.
Thanks a lot. Folks, I've got the first guest that I was telling you about, and we'll be right back.
Looking for a better way to shop for your next new Ford? Come.
Tom.
Yes.
Hey, I'm sorry. We got into a big discussion on Islam and terrorism and everything, and I lost track of the time a little bit, so I got to burn off some
ads.
No
worries. No worries at all.
Okay, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good. It's shaping up to be a great Friday, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, where are you located?
Well, I'm here in New Mexico. I'm in Albuquerque physically right now.
Okay.
I'm with a public relations firm that works with the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange.
Okay.
And so our team was the one that called and set up this interview, which you were so gracious to provide.
Well, I'm more than happy to. People are interested in the topic, obviously, and you dealt with Caroline, right?
Well, Amanda with my team set it up, so I would imagine Caroline was the person that she talked to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a good friend of mine, so whenever I can help out. But also, I mean, I think it's meaningful information, so I'm interested in myself. Have you been doing a lot of radio interviews?
This is about the second one that I've done with regards to health insurance exchange. But we're doing just a blitz to get the word out. And so there's a team of folks who are sharing and spreading the word about Be Well New Mexico for this weekend's events.
Okay. We're going to have about 10 minutes when the ads get done running. So you're welcome to all 10 minutes if you want.
Well, yeah, let's see how the interview goes. I've done quite a bit of radio interviews, so I can definitely, go with the flow. And, I tend to talk sometimes in sound bites, and other times I, say, here's how you build the clock. So.
All right. Yeah, I'm just trying to find that. Did you send me an email?
Or
maybe somebody I was looking. I
somebody
just,
did.
You guys have a website that you're going to refer to?
Yeah, bewellnm.com. And actually, what's your email address? And during the commercial break, I'll send you the news release.
It's the Latin word for Ireland. It's Hibernia, but it's Hibernian1@gmail. So it's Hibernian, numeral1@gmail.
Okay, cool. Let me send that over and see you here in just a minute.
Okay, and we're on the air in about exactly 1 minute.
Perfect. Thanks.
What's the weather like up there?
Clear skies right now, actually. I'm looking out down to the south, and there's a few high clouds probably about 10 miles away.
Oh, that's good. You ever go up to Sandia or up to the top of the mountain?
Oh, I sure do. I do a lot of trail running and really enjoy that up there.
There is something about that, the spectacular view, 360 degrees around that mountain, that I'm trying to remember how many square miles they said you could see from up there.
Well, I know I could definitely see for, you can see all the way to Mount Taylor without any problem. And you can see that most days from Albuquerque. So that's about 60 miles away.
Yeah, well, it's pretty impressive up there. I went up there with a friend and celebrate her birthday. But we're on the air in 5 seconds. Your first and last name one more time?
Tom Garrity.
Tom Garrity, good Irishman.
Yes.
I used to live in Galway, believe it or not.
No way.
Indeed.
That's where
good morning,
my family's
folks.
From.
Thanks for tuning in, Kelly O'Connell Show, and I've got Tom Garrity. Anyway, we're going to talk here a little bit about health exchanges. I don't know anything about this stuff, but welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kelly. I appreciate the time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I jumped at the chance to bring you on. Now, could you give people a general description of what you're up to?
Absolutely. Be Well New Mexico is New Mexico's official health insurance exchange, and one of the things that Be Well New Mexico is staging this weekend is a chance for New Mexico residents around the state through 35 different events to learn more about their options for health insurance. And then also to see if they could qualify for some of the subsidies or incentive payments from the government to help cover health insurance. So we're going to be, you know, spreading the word, and we're actually going to have a team in Las Cruces from 11 to 5 tomorrow at the La Clinica de Familia Community Health Center on 385 Calle de Allegra. And so they're going to be there from 11 to 5, just registering people, answering questions. Ideally, if you don't have health care coverage, it's a great time to learn some more about it and what those costs are. But if you do have health insurance coverage, it's also a great chance to go out and learn more about, you know, how your current plan compares to other plans that are out on the market.
Right. Okay. And do you have a phone number, by the way?
I do. You know, people can call 1-855-996-6449. And it's a toll-free number that will actually go to our call center in Alamogordo. And there, an enrollment counselor or broker can actually answer some questions. So, again, that number is 855-996-6449.
Okay, and, so you guys are the actual, the official health care for New Mexico, right? What they call Obamacare?
Absolutely, yeah. It's Obamacare is lives and breathes through the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange, and specifically the Be Well New Mexico campaign. And you know, during the conversations that we've had around the state, it's been very interesting to you know, hear how open people are to really learning more about healthcare and the ways that they could benefit. One of the surprising things to me is that more than 80% of New Mexico residents actually receive some kind of subsidy or incentive payment through the government to help them with the monthly premium. So
70%.
That was a great encouragement.
70%?
Yes.
I don't think anybody around here will be shocked by that high number.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, there's a lot of government assistance in the state. So, okay, so now what if you had to fill out suggest or give people some facts that they may not know about the program, what would they be?
Well, you know, some of the facts is that, you know, there are different tiers of healthcare coverage, but, you know, the key things to really learn more about it would be you will need to make sure that you have certain things with you when you go to the enrollment event on Saturday. That includes dates of birth and Social Security numbers for anyone who's applying for the insurance. You'll need to bring some employer and income information for 2014, as well as health insurance policy numbers for any current plans. And then just keep an open mind as far as what it is that you're wanting to do. You know, do you think you're going to be using health care quite a bit over the next year, or probably not so much? And so those are the types of things that people should be ready to talk about on Saturday down at our events down at the La Clinica de Familia Community Health Center.
Do you, the people that you've met that have signed up or have come to these things, do they seem like they know what's going on, or is there a little bit of confusion?
Well, there's definitely a lot of confusion because, you know, people really don't know, you know, they hear various opinions, obviously, but they are really just curious about what's in it for me. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I think is really beneficial about this is it helps to eliminate the confusion, helps to answer questions, and, you know, gets beyond the politics so people can just talk about their health care and what's important for them. And so I think that's one of the great, you know, great breakthroughs that we see through the health insurance exchange.
Okay. And if somebody shows up down there, do they need to have a check in their pocket?
Not at all. They just need to be able to have the information that I shared earlier. And by the way, all this information is online at bewellnm.com. And they can really learn more, you know, about different options. In fact, if you wanted to see what your estimated monthly premium could be, and if you'd be eligible for subsidies, you can actually, they have a very quick, anonymous way for you to input some key information to let you know.
All right. Now, so if some, let's just say somebody's working at a minimum wage job, so they're at the lowest income tier, there would be government subsidies for these people.
Correct. The subsidies, range, you know, obviously based on income and need, number of people in the household. But some people could, you know, pay on an average of $500 a month, but because of the subsidies, only pay $20 a month. So, you know, have full health care coverage for as low as $20 a month. And, of course, it will vary based on what people's different positions are, financially and with others on the plan. But, those are the types of savings that we've been seeing.
And let me just ask you this. Let's say somebody comes in and they're signed up for the lowest tier. What kind of coverage could they expect? What kind of medical care?
It all depends. It's all based on the plan that you select, whether it's a gold or a silver plan. And we have a lot of that information just outlined on the website.
Okay.
So it really depends on what you want for your healthcare coverage. But unfortunately, it just all depends. And that's why we have these events so people can learn more and find a healthcare option that really works for them.
Okay. And how many people in New Mexico do you think are signed up so far?
Well, we know that last year we had 32,000 people who registered. And, of course, this open enrollment period just started November 15th, and it goes through February 15th. And so far, the first report that we've received, we have had more than 22,000 people sign up during this first part of the enrollment period. So we're real pleased with that kind of response that we're seeing from New Mexico residents across the state.
Okay. Now, how about this? Any hostility? I mean, do people show up with signs or I came down there here to protest or anything like that?
No, great question. Not at all. We've had a number of events around the state through our open enrollment period. And even I can tell you that we haven't seen anything along those lines. You know, people, just genuinely interested about, and very cognizant that healthcare costs can be, pretty substantial, and having insurance just makes common sense.
Obviously.
Because you never know.
Tom, we got about 1 minute left. You want to recapitulate or restate everything?
For, residents in the Las Cruces area, we have an event for Be Well New Mexico, New Mexico's official health insurance exchange, and that's going to be from 11 to 5 p.m. on Saturday at La Clinica de Familia Community Health Center at 385 Calle de Allegra in Building C. And so we'll have signs out and certified enrollment professionals there. People should plan on bringing, some type of identification, dates of birth, social security numbers, any employer and income information for 2014. And then, of course, go in with a lot of great questions about how you can benefit from healthcare insurance.
One last question. What's the penalty if you don't sign up?
There is a penalty this year. Offhand, I don't know, but I believe it's along the lines of $25 for the first year, and then it keeps going up. But I don't have that exact information.
The rumor that we had heard was it involved losing a pinky and your firstborn, but that may just be an internet hoax. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
You bet, Kelly. I appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
You got 5 seconds. Who's this?
Yeah, can illegal aliens sign up? I want to get some health care.
You don't have much of an accent for an illegal, but I'll find out for you. Thanks a lot. All right, folks, we'll take you out with some Uncle Tupelo Kelly O'Connell about on the break of the hour, and we got the head of the GOP for the state coming on.
Sometimes it snows, but when it does, it doesn't last long. Down here where we're at, all we do is sit out on the porch and play our song.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. It's Emily with the House GOP caucus. I was just wondering if you're ready for me to pass the representative through.
I believe that I'm emotionally prepared for this interview.
Okay, great. I'll give you 1 second and I'll pass him through.
All right. Hey, it's Kelly.
1 second. You both should be on. Are you both there?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Representative Roach.
Good morning, Kelly. It's actually Rosh. It rhymes with wash.
I had to take a shot at that. I should have done it on the air, but I missed my chance there.
You know, I've been called worse.
I'm going to say, I mean, you got to have tough skin, you know?
Indeed. That's right. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Glad I could join you.
Absolutely. I was looking forward to this. Was glad to get the call. We'll be on in about, I don't know, 30 seconds. I'm looking at what you wanted to talk about, right to work, but, I mean, that's a hot topic, huh?
It is a hot topic, and it's actually surprising a lot of folks don't know a lot of what it is, so maybe we can shed a little light on it this morning.
Absolutely, and your assistant had said, you know, 5 minutes, but normally if somebody like Steve Pierce calls up, he spends a little bit longer, so just wanted to let you know there was more time if you needed it. We're on the air,
sure
by
thing.
The way.
Thanks.
What is your first name? Sorry, I missed it there. Sorry. Good morning to you. Kelly here. It is 7:06. 7:06 on AM 1450, the Kelly O'Connell Show. And today, of course, is December the 9th. And I had mentioned to you we were going to have someone on from the Republican state Republicans, Representative Dennis you said it's pronounced Rosh?
Rosh, yes, sir.
Rosh, okay. Good morning, Dennis. Thank you for calling in. And what we're going to talk today about, folks, is the right to work, which is a concept that we were talking about off the air. A lot of people don't even understand. And by the way, give us just a brief. I see your biography here. You're from Clovis, but give us a little bit of background about yourself.
Sure. I'm a public educator. I've served as a teacher and a coach and worked my way up through the administration ranks. I'm actually now a superintendent of schools in Logan, New Mexico.
Wow.
The district I represent in the state house is northeastern New Mexico, Raton, Clayton, Tucumcari, in that area. It's an honor to be with you this morning.
It is an honor, and I've always wondered, how did Raton get its name?
You know, I don't even know the history of that. That's a great question.
When I was living in Florida, I found out that Boca Raton, which seemed like a really beautiful place to live until I found out it meant mouth of the rat, and then it didn't seem as attractive. But all right, so, and by the way, what sport did you coach?
I coached baseball and volleyball.
Okay, but I got to get a prediction on the national championship from you.
You know what? I'm not going to choose upsides. We got enough fights going on in New Mexico here as the legislature convened. So
there's a political answer for you, folks. All right, Dennis, go ahead and fill us in. What's right to work?
Well, right to work is legislation that I've pre-filed with a couple of my colleagues to try to make sure that workers in New Mexico have a choice. And a lot of people don't understand what right to work is. It essentially does not bust unions. It doesn't say you can't join a union or unions can't collectively bargain. What it says is if a worker wants to join a union, they ought to have that right. But if they don't want to, they ought to have that choice as well. And so in New Mexico right now, some industries require a worker to join a union as a condition of their employment and therefore contribute a portion of their paycheck to the union. And we believe that workers ought to have a choice. It ought to be up to the individual worker. A lot of other states have done this, enacted this kind of legislation. And we think those worker protections ought to be in place in New Mexico as well.
Sounds good. But the devil's advocate argument is a lot of these people don't pay any attention to the union until they need it. And then by that time, it's too late to join.
Well, that may be the case. However, you're talking about individual workers who may not agree with the political stance of the union. They may not agree with, you know, what the union might be advocating for for on their behalf while they're not paying attention. And so just like in anything, Americans love to choose their 31 flavors of ice cream. We want to choose our healthcare provider. We want to choose what kind of car we drive. We ought to have the right to choose whether or not we join a union and contribute to one financially.
Okay, so how would this legislation actually impact?
Well, it would basically prohibit the forced membership of a worker in a union and forced contributions. But that it wouldn't prevent folks from joining one that wanted to. And then that's ultimately what the union is about. It's about workers deciding to organize together, but it's not about forcing people to do anything.
But,
I think most people across the country agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, for most people, when they think of union, they think of the far left and they think of unions that are taking their workers and the money from the union and they're supporting either far left advocacy or candidates.
Well,
so
I think that certainly happens. And
yeah.
I think the national polls show that why this is so popular. It's about 65% of Democrats nationally support giving workers this choice. It's even a higher number of independents and Republicans. So it's a bipartisan support for let's make sure that the worker has a choice rather than have their hand forced.
What do the unions say in response to this legislation?
Well, I think they're leery of it. I'm sure they're concerned about it hitting the union coffers. But, you know, we can't worry about the organizational budget. We've got to worry about the individual worker. It's also interesting because it has some economic benefits. Right-to-work states have shown much more job growth over the last, say, 20 years than non-right-to-work states.
Why?
Because businesses that are looking to expand or relocate are very often not even considering states that do not have right-to-work legislation enacted. And so had we done this in New Mexico in the 1980s when we were considering it early on, you know, and if we had done it then, we'd have about 170,000 more people working in New Mexico right now than we do. I think your listeners would agree. We have a lot of New Mexicans unemployed or underemployed.
Yeah.
It'd be great to have those folks working. So let's get this loophole fixed. Get those folks back to work.
It's funny you bring up that number because that's a little bit more than the number of jobs that they say that we need to bring on in the next, I can't remember what they said, 10 years or whatever, to replace.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
You're exactly right. The Jobs Council, we've looked at some needs to get us back to, or get our economy back to strong again. Here in New Mexico, and right now we can sort of figure out where we've missed an opportunity to keep those numbers here. So I'd like to see more businesses expand and relocate into New Mexico, get people back to work, and right-to-work legislation is a big part of that.
Yeah, now, do you have any horror stories from there must be something that motivated you.
Well, I mean, there are stories across different industries. You're a broadcaster in the broadcast industry or in the film industry. A lot of times, folks, you know, are forced to join a union in order to participate in a production.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do that. They either a portion of their paycheck that they could be using to take care of their family or investing in their future has to go to these union dues, or the union itself takes a political position that runs contrary to something that they hold dear. And those are just examples. The worker needs to have a choice. That's ultimately the bottom line.
Yeah. Now, I have heard some horror stories out of the teachers union. So I think there are a lot of the teachers are conservative and the union itself is supposed to be. I mean, I haven't studied it, but supposed to be kind of liberal.
And I've had mixed results with teachers unions myself. I never joined one as a teacher, but I've had good working relationships with some union folks as an administrator. Again, it's not against unions, this bill, and it certainly isn't saying someone can't join if they want to. It's just giving workers a choice, and that's what we're ultimately about.
All right, so if people want to find out more about this, do you have a contact info?
Sure, you can go on the legislative website. It's www.nmlegis.gov. And if you'll search for House Bill 75, that's our pre-filed legislation called the Employee Preference Act. You can actually read the bill. You can find all of your contact information for your legislators there on that website. And I'd encourage you to contact representatives and senators that are about to head to Santa Fe and ask them to support this important legislation.
Fantastic. Anything else, Dennis?
appreciate your opportunity to be here, and thanks so much for letting me clue in your listeners on this important topic.
Very much.
Got to give workers a choice.
Absolutely. If you're in town, please stop by, contact the studio. We'll have you on live.
Very good. Thanks so much, Kelly.
Thanks, Dennis. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right, folks. Let me go to break here, and I'll give you a little more Uncle Tupelo. Do you like Uncle Tupelo, or is it... would you prefer Tupelo Honey? Uncle Tupelo is an important band. It was a precursor to a lot of alternative country. Alternative country putting together country, and you can hear a little influence of, say, maybe REM or what's that band that did Smells Like Teen Spirit, whatever, that crazy guy that blew his brains out. You hear some of these, you know, it's a mixture, but it's kind of invigorating. Here is Uncle Tupelo, Looking for a Way Out. Kelly O'Connell, 523-14 to call in. I'm going to go back and talk a little bit more about Islam. And 715. And, you know, the guy that shot the two cops in New York, Courtney was talking about, Muslim, believe it or not. We'll be right back, 523-1450, AM 1450, Kelly O'Connell Show. And it is 715, 716 on the button right now.
So there's that hurdle. There's actually no one even to quit. Even if I wanted to quit, no one cares that I'm doing this. Like, I don't have a boss. I can't just call Cosby and be like, look, I'm out. All right. Here's why I do it. My dad is an entertainer as well. He's a magician, still is a magician. But just in it, like, he started as a clown. Like, I don't want to come up here and come off like I come from some rich magic family and I'm better than you guys, all right? He paid his dues, his clown dues. It's weird when your dad's a clown, though. It's weird every day. It made me not like clowns, you know? Like, because if you've ever been yelled at by a clown, I have. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. It's
Kelly here, and so anyway... we did our duty to the community to put a few things on. We got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. This is Sharon.
Sharon, good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning. Fantastic. And I know you were going to talk about Islam, but can I mention something about the right to work?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay.
You're a nurse.
I'm sorry?
You're a nurse.
I am a nurse. I am. I'm a very proud nurse.
Okay.
And a very non-union nurse. Frankly, I work in Texas, which is a right-to-work state. My hospital is a union campaign, and I had actually started to educate people a year before they even got there about how wrong this would be. You know, they came in very organized, very well-funded, and they threw a lot of deceit, and they won the election. But What we were able to do, and this is kind of my point, we actually filed some federal lawsuits and won and forced some change to our corporation. A lot of good it did. We still have a union. But for people that don't want to belong to the union or who are experiencing problems, there is a national group of lawyers that come in for free and help you defend yourself or fight for your rights, including your free speech rights and your freedom of assembly rights, some of which were violated in my situation. And it's called the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. And we contacted them, and they sent us, we never got anybody. They offered to send somebody to help us, and we refused. We probably shouldn't have done that, but oh well. And so that's a free group of lawyers. They fight for worker, and it's funny, they fight for workers' rights. Isn't that something that the union would say?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they are very well. Now, this is just my union.
Yes.
I recognize unions have a very positive impact in workers' rights historically.
Uh-huh.
But I think that that time is gone. And I don't believe that this is my experience. I don't believe that nurses' unions do anything to promote positive patient care, although that's one of the things that they really do tout out there. And so anyway, that's online. Anybody who's having issues and feels like they need legal support against a union, it is. And I don't know in New Mexico, because we don't have that law, they may not have any rights in New Mexico.
I don't know if they could go online. Yeah, I don't know if we're that advanced here, but
they can go online and they could certainly contact them and try to seek whatever kind of legal help they could get.
And then they could join
this young man in Raton.
What's the name of the?
It's the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation.
Uh-huh.
And the lawyers contacted me right away. They worked with us. They actually they filed the federal lawsuits for us, and they represented us down in El Paso when we had our hearing. It was interesting. We were one of our case was, it first went to the NLRB, and that was one of the cases that should have been thrown out because we had the fixed Obama NLRB deciding our case, and I don't suppose that anything ever came of that. And you know, we're already at the year out, and we could get rid of the union now if we could rally up enough people to do so.
Are they fighting for like hour long coffee breaks and stuff like that? I mean, do they force you to watch Norma Ray?
First of all, I'm an old nurse, so I, you know, maybe work ethics are different now than they were. I actually, one of the things that they say is that you have to have, there's mandatory staffing levels, which sounds great if you have the nurses to do that.
Yes.
So who takes care of the sick patients when you don't have the nurses to do that? And the thought that, yes, corporations make lots of money, and, you know, you can debate that all freaking day long, but the thought that an administrator is trying to screw you out of taking care of your patients is absolutely absurd. But this is one of the things that they like to put out there. They want to have nurses available to come in while we go to lunch,
uh-huh.
so that you never have more than whatever ratio of patients you're allowed to have. Well, who's going to take that job? I'm going to come in for an hour and a half and watch a couple patients while somebody goes to lunch and then go home. I mean, there's not a lot of practicality to it, and that's just one issue. I think when you put mandatory patient ratios, you take away the nurses' professional opinion. You say we aren't smart enough to know that we can or can't handle a patient's load. And then who takes care of your grandma, Kelly, when there's not a nurse and the law says that I can only take care of two patients?
Oh, hopefully
when I might be perfectly capable to take care of three.
Hopefully she's not put on a death panel. But
let's not even go there.
Hey, hold on. Time out here. What percentage of nurses from your observation were opposed to the unionization?
I don't really know, because only a very small portion of people voted, and it doesn't matter. It's 50.1%.
I'm just wondering and was asking you for your feeling about what, I mean, did you get any, I mean, you're here, you were involved in the anti-movement, so was there a number of people that came up and said, I feel you, or I agree, or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that if everybody was required to put in a vote, we would have won, because people overwhelmingly did not want the union. But what they do, and it's very smart, this is very well-run campaign. They come in at night where you have all the brand new nurses who are working the night shift,
yeah,
who have no idea what's going on in administration.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and it's terrible to say, they don't even know who their boss is, which is horrible. You know, the boss should be, you know, present. But they take advantage of the young people who feel like, well, I should be making as much as that person is.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
I'm doing the same job. They feed them really, really well. They use a lot of tricks. They say, you know, well, we need to keep track of how many people got this free lunch.
Yeah.
And when you sign that so-called thing saying I got a free lunch, you know, they say it so that they can prove that they spent the money. That actually is a vote for them to come in to the hospital and have a vote.
No such thing as a free lunch, in other words. Well, listen, I gotta run here, but I appreciate it. And,
okay. You bet. Thanks
for tuning in, and have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. All right, folks. Here is in celebration of this. Here's a little clip from Norma Ray. I don't even know what's on this clip, but
Norma Ray has been working since she was 16. She's been a mother since she was 18. She's been on her own since she was 20. Norma Ray is a survivor, and for the first time in her life, she's got a chance to become something more.
Good morning, Wachowski Textile Workers.
Well, anyway, it's Sally Field, and she's working in a textile factory that looks like it was taken out of China. It looks like you could lose an arm at any moment. A bunch of machines whirring around. But anyway, I think the high spot of the union is over. I've got a little clip here, switching gears. Here is a four-year-old clip called The Islamization of Paris, A Warning to the West. And by the way, Sharon, I do appreciate you calling in. Sounds like it was really kind of an emotional issue. And the manipulation of the unions, that's disgusting. Here we go. Islamization of Paris, A Warning to the West, CBN.com. This is 4 years ago, but we could see this coming. If you're giving the parts of the city over to the Muslims, they're turning them into Muslim ghettos, no-go areas. That's shocking. And what do you expect? But people begin to think this is a land of Sharia. You know, these Westerners are so stupid. We can take their cities over and put Sharia in here. Nobody can stop us. You know, Allah Akbar, et cetera, et cetera. Check this out.
This is a Friday in Paris, filmed by hidden camera. The streets are blocked by a huge crowd of Muslim worshippers, and it's enforced by private security. This is all illegal in France. The public worship, the blocked streets, and the private security. But the police have been ordered not to intervene. It shows that even though some in the French government want to get tough with the Muslims and ban the burqa, other parts of the French government continue to give Islam privileged status. An ordinary French citizen who was watching the Islamization of Paris decided that the world needed to see what was happening to his city. So he bought a hidden camera and started posting the videos on YouTube. His life has been threatened, and so we're concealing his identity. He uses the alias of Maxime Lepont.
They are blocking the streets with barriers. They are praying on the ground, and the inhabitants of this district cannot leave their home nor go into their home during those prayers. The Muslims who are taking over those streets do not have any authorization. They do not go to the police headquarters, so it's completely illegal.
These Muslims have been granted unofficial rights that no Christian group is likely to get under France's laïcité or secularism law.
I just want to let you know these pictures are panning across huge crowds of people bowing down on their knees on the sidewalks. And as far as the eye can see, thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Bill.
Bill, hey, thanks. Round two, what's up?
Hey, you know that nurse called Ben, you know, and she's talking from her heart and stuff. And
yeah.
When you put on that normal race thing, you kind of belittle her, you know, in my opinion.
Oh,
you know?
I'm sorry, Bill.
It's just my opinion, right? You know? I think that was kind of a bad move.
Sorry, Bill.
Day.
I apologize. Anything else?
Except,
all right, sorry, Sharon, didn't mean to belittle you. I was trying to make fun of Norma Ray because I thought it was a ridiculous movie. But anyway, here we go. Islamization of Paris, a little bit more for you.
So it says people have the right to share any belief they want, any religion, but they have to practice at home or in the mosque, synagogues, churches, and so on.
Some say these Muslims must pray in the street because they need a larger mosque. But Maxime has observed cars coming from other parts of Paris, and he believes it's a weekly display of Muslim power.
They are coming there to show that they can take over some French streets, to show that they can conquer a part of the French territory.
If France faces an Islamic future, it took a Russian to write about it. It's the best-selling novel, The Mosque of Notre Dame, 2048, a bestseller in Russia, not in France. The French publisher, Jean Robin, says the French media ignored the book for being politically incorrect.
So Islam is seen as the religion of the poor people. And so you can't say to the poor people, you're wrong, otherwise you're a fascist. That's how it goes.
The book lays out a dark future when France has become a Muslim nation and the famous cathedral has been turned into a mosque. Whether that plot is far-fetched depends on whom you ask.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, it's funny that I think they passed a law that you can't wear, you're not supposed to wear a veil in France. But it is amazing to me to the extent that these European countries have taken in the Muslims without any sense of what would happen. I mean, obviously, if you had a European country and it had 100% Muslim people in it, it would be in. You couldn't differentiate between that and a country in the Middle East. But I mean, at what point is it saturated? And they say they're bringing more and more Muslims into America. You know, foreign-born Muslims. And what is going to be the impact of that? And is it a wise idea? Kelly O'Connell, and let's a little more Uncle Tupelo here. We'll be right back. 523-1450, 733 on AM 1450, and it is Friday, TGIF, the 9th of December. It is Kelly here, and I've got another clip here, and this is from Britain. Now, they're bringing in and have established Sharia courts in Britain, and I've spent a lot of time studying this stuff. And don't forget that Obama has people working for him or people he's closely associated with, like Sun Casting and Harold Coe, that they tried to put on a court of appeals. Coe was the dean of the Yale Law School. Sun Casting is a huge name in academia, legal academia. These people are in favor of bringing Sharia into America. And I thought, do these people even know anything about it? Because it is, to the extent that it disagrees with American law, it wildly disagrees. And to the extent that it would agree with it, we don't need it. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, are we really going to subvert our constitution under Islamic courts, Islamic law? Check this out.
Stoning for adultery, amputations for theft, death for apostates, and second class status for Christians and Jews. This is life under Sharia law, the Islamic system practiced in countries like Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Great Britain. Yes, Great Britain. There are reportedly some 85 Sharia courts now operating there, with Islamic judges ruling on cases ranging from financial to marriage disputes among British Muslims.
We went into some proceedings, and there were a couple of Islamic judges sitting up on above the rest, and there was one solitary Muslim woman who was suing for divorce.
Alan Craig is a former city councillor in East London, home to several Sharia courts where women face open discrimination.
A woman's witness value is half that of a man, so you know that they will tend therefore to take the man's position in a divorce.
Craig is working with Baroness Carolyn Cox to pass a bill in Britain's House of Lords protecting women from the Sharia oppression. Muslim women here face intimidation within their communities to settle things the Sharia way, and according to Craig, some wrongly believe Islamic courts are their only option.
But what we're trying to do is say, Muslim women, especially in this country, need to be informed that they actually have other rights, in our view, better rights under English law.
Sharia courts operate outside of British common law. Their defenders say the courts are legal under a 1996 Arbitration Act that allows people to settle differences through methods of their own choosing. These courts have popped up in several British cities with large Muslim populations, including Birmingham, Bradford, Manchester, and London.
This is the Tower Hamlets section.
Well, listen, that is a country that has just ceded itself to basically lawlessness. If you're gonna, if you have a sovereign nation and you have, you have a set of laws that goes back deep into history that has affected the world, and yet you're going to hand over the right to judge people to some foreign law. Here's, we have another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Aaron Kelly.
Yeah, hey, Aaron, good morning to you, and what's on your mind?
Well, I think that what the West has going to have to come to the conclusion is that, is there really, can we really live with this religion? Is it possible for Western values, Christian Judeo values, to live in one society with a religion that can be turned into what it's become in such a, they call it a minority, but I'm not sure how small or large that minority may be within the Islamic community.
Aaron, the minority of like people who would support terrorism?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, they say there's a 1.6 billion Muslims. Is a minority 600 million, or is it 6 million?
Aaron, let me ask you this. If it was 10% of the world Muslim population that actually supported terrorism, at least in theory, I don't think anybody would be shocked. It's not a real high number in terms of the percent, but it's a high number of individuals.
Yeah, it could potentially be a huge number. You know, and the West has faced this before. I mean, you know, they pushed the Islam off the continent of Spain hundreds of years ago because they couldn't live with it. You know, they had a war in Serbia when Yugoslavia fell apart, and the Eastern Orthodox Christians or Catholics, you know, were pushing the Muslims as far south as they could push them, and Clinton stopped it. So, I don't know that the two are compatible, and it is as they're starting to refer to it, I've heard, a clash of civilizations.
It is, yeah. And that was the name of a very famous book that was written on this maybe a decade or two ago. Let me ask you this. We've been talking about how to define Islam in terms of other religions, if it needs a new categorization, because it seems to be uniquely violent in today's age, and also what steps can we take to protect ourselves from the kind of things going on in Paris or things that we've already gone through?
Well, I don't think you can say that it's uniquely violent nowadays. It's always been violent. It's always been a religion of war. That's how it's been propagated for the most part throughout history.
But
so
answer the question, Aaron, answer the question.
Yeah.
Is it what they say, sui generis? Is it unique and different from every other religion?
Oh, I think it is different. Yeah, for
should
sure.
Should it be defined as different?
You're seeing it right now.
Aaron, should it be defined as different? Should we have a different categorization? Because what you see in Islam is this kind of rapacious a desire or ambition to conquer territory for Allah. I don't know what percentage of people who are in Islam want that, but why aren't we talking about this more?
Well, because we've trapped ourselves into this stage of political correctness throughout the world, and multiculturalism, and you know, lots of other liberal ideals that they think supersede common sense.
Yeah. So how should we change?
Should we get over that?
Aaron,
we're in trouble.
Aaron, how should we change our approach to it, if at all?
Well, here's one thing. I think not too long ago, didn't Oklahoma attempt to pass a law, or did pass a law that was knocked down by the federal courts about Sharia law could never be practiced in Oklahoma?
I think a number of states had something like that come up. So Oklahoma ban on Sharia law, unconstitutional, U.S. judge, and that's from Wall Street Journal. So, yeah. Now, why that would be banned, I don't know.
Ahead of the curve and do that.
Well, maybe we should have a national a quorum. You know, like maybe there should be a national movement through the states to vote on this thing. We get a supermajority and maybe put amendment in the Constitution.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think we should pass some laws that kind of like the internet. We need to get ahead of it. We need to pass some laws that totally prohibit the practice of Sharia law at any county in the United States of America.
Yeah, if I told people what the standards in Sharia law were, people's jaws would drop. I mean, you think, well, we've got this foreign law, these foreign people, we've got to be sympathetic to them. But if you're sympathetic to this, it is a disaster. Aaron, I've got to take a break here. I'm a little bit behind. Was there anything else?
No, that'll sum it up.
Thanks a lot, Aaron. Have a good day. All right, folks, let me put a little comedy clip in here for you. Nate Bargatze off of Conan on TBS. We've been listening to this guy all week.
It's exciting to be here. Mainly, I'm quitting comedy soon, so I don't want you guys to worry about it. I'll get out. I mean, I can't get out yet because, for one, it's pretty tough to quit something no one knows you do. So there's that hurdle. There's actually no one even to quit to. Even if I wanted to quit, no one cares that I'm doing this. Like, I don't have a boss. I can't just call Cosby and be like, look, I'm out, all right? Here's why I do it. My dad is an entertainer as well. He's a magician, still is a magician. But just in it, like, he started as a clown. Like, I don't want to come up here and come off like I come from some rich magic family and I'm better than you guys, all right? He paid his dues, his clown dues. It's weird when your dad's a clown, though. It's weird every day. It made me not like clowns, you know? Like, because if you've ever been yelled at by a clown, I have. Yeah. You know how confusing that is to get screamed at by a guy who's got a smile painted on his face? You're like, is this good? It's not good. He was a clown until I was about 12 years old. And from experience, I can tell you that's about as long as you want your dad to be a clown. Like, when you're 6 and 7, there's some perks. But, like, when you're 12 and 13, kids at school are like, is he still doing that? They're like, you know what, guys, just off and on, all right? He is almost full-time magic. So let's take it easy, baby.
It's Kelly here, and just kind of rounding out the second hour here, and I've got a few thoughts for you. We're talking about a couple of things. Number one, religion, the nature of Islam. Number two, the violence associated with Islam. Is it politically incorrect to point it out? Number three, we're talking about what's the response. Now, here's from Stephen Hayes. I got a few tiny clips for you, just a few thoughts. Stephen Hayes from the Weekly Standard, I think, talking about what we should do in response to this. Don't forget the attacks in Paris were due to the fact that Charlie Hebdo published cartoons that made fun of the Prophet.
You know, we just went through this whole thing, Steve, with the interview, the movie, and how the Sony hack and how everyone stood up and said this was First Amendment rights and they should go out and see this movie, and it was released and eventually it came out. It seems different with the Prophet Muhammad. It seems different on these First Amendment rights for Charlie Hebdo for some reason.
There's no question. I mean, it was fascinating today to listen to people who I think in most contexts are First Amendment absolutists, making arguments that these things shouldn't be published. I mean, you had the Associated Press give put out a statement saying that they deliberately distributed photographs of Charlie Hebdo that didn't include those cartoons for fear of, you know, causing additional attacks. You had the New York Daily News blot it out. You had the Telegraph in London do the same thing. I think that is appalling. If ever there were a time to show these cartoons, it is now. And I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that by choosing not to do that, you are, in effect, letting the terrorists win. This is
And I think that's pretty strong. What if every newspaper in the world printed the cartoons? Are they going to blow up and kill every, you know, every employee of every, you know? Now, here's a little bit from Bill Mayer. He's on Jimmy Kimmel.
Because you're a very smart guy, a brilliant guy. I will
finish your thought, Jimmy.
But a terrible thing happened today in Paris.
Yes.
Tell
them.
People were killed. Oh, well, I know a lot of people are on vacation, so maybe they don't know what's going on.
You're the host. You got to tell them the bad news.
The bad news is cartoonists, journalists, some other people, police officer, were killed in Paris.
This was really big.
It is, yes. Especially in our business in particular.
Right.
Especially in your business in particular.
Right. And we have to not avoid who did this. Who did this, Jimmy?
Well, we presume, and I think...
No, it's not a presume. No. It's Muslim terrorists.
Yes, Muslim terrorists.
Right. This happens way too frequently. It's like Groundhog Day, except if the groundhog kept getting his head cut off.
So, you know, one thing I admire about Bill Mayer, I think he's a very kind of a profane person. He's definitely pushes the limit as far as he can, but he's not afraid to go after Islam and point out the differentness of Islam. Bill Mayer is a critic of religion. He put out this movie Regulus or whatever it was called. But he says, you know, there's the apples and oranges difference between Christianity or Judaism or throw in Hinduism or any other religion you want, and Islam. What do you think you personally, this is a personal question to you, what personal benefit are you going to get from being politically correct? What personal benefit are you going to get from when somebody puts down a particular religion that you kind of shrink back in horror, not because you necessarily disagree, but because we're all trained to have this politically correct response? What is our society gaining from being politically correct? I would say we're not only are we not gaining anything, that we're sacrificing the very thing that makes us different, that makes us unique, the wonderful, beautiful, powerful. It is these superb freedoms that we have that political correctness tries to drive out of us by instinct. Now, here's another one. Reza Aslan, there is a civil war taking place in Europe.
Magazine. Now, despite recent deadly strikes by radical Islamists around the world, is the attack in Paris different because it happened in Europe? My next guest says Europeans have a problem with outsiders, especially Muslims. Reza Aslan is a religious scholar who is also the author of Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth. Welcome back, Reza.
Thanks, Don. Great to see you.
Great to see you. You say that to understand what happened in Paris, that you have to look at what is happening in all of Europe with the Muslim population. Talk about that.
Yeah, Europe is facing nothing short of an identity crisis. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is that there have been these seismic changes on the continent, culturally, racially, religiously, politically, and that's resulted in this intense anti-immigrant and more specifically anti-Muslim backlash. I mean, in France, one of the largest parties, the party of Marie Le Pen.
We're running out of time here, but that's one of the academic takes on this. Now, this Reza Aslan is a very liberal guy, and he wrote a controversial book on Jesus. But there's no doubt, no matter what side you take on this thing, there's a battle for the identity and the soul of Europe. Is Europe going to become a satellite of Islam? If it is, why did it happen? I would argue it's multiculturalism and it's handmaiden political correctness. Now, what's to be gained versus what's to be lost? And could it have been stopped? Could any of these countries have stopped or modified the Islamic incursion? You've got people coming into these countries that are totally opposed to what we understand to be our freedoms, our civil rights, our constitutional rights, our natural rights, if you want to put it in the original language. They're totally opposed to that. They're opposed to free speech. Believe it or not, one of the reasons they attacked and I published an article on this in the Small Wars Journal called Economic Terrorism, one of the reasons they wanted to attack the World Trade Towers was because they're opposed to liberty or freedom in economics. And they knew that, number one, they would make a statement against that. Number two, they would cut down on the West's ability to pay taxes and field an army if our economy was crashed. And you remember how badly it affected the economy. and the impact from that is still resonating. So if you bring people in that are opposed to your way of life, to your theory of government, to your idea of law, to what we consider to be inalienable rights, what is going to be the impact? And I've got some, I see my phone is lighting up here, and let me get to, if I can open up this thing here. All right. Common sense should tell you not to provoke zealous crazies in a no-go zone where Sharia law rules and you have no protection. That editor in Paris got his own staff killed. Do you agree with that? Maybe true. Can they promise that if I do pay for health care, no money is going to go to pay for abortions or other such things? My eyes are bulging out of my head. I am fairly sure New Mexico's right to work state. I have heard the ads on the radio, Kathy. Then why would they be putting this ad out? Okay. What is it about Muslims that's unlike other religions? I think other religions on earth are about leading a better, more peaceful life to your fellow man and lifting him up. I don't hear anything of good from Muslims that reaching out to serve the fellow man. It's all about worshiping Allah. What's wrong with this concept in my mind? It's not about lifting people up. Okay. That is a matter of fact that Islam focuses more than anything on the subjugation of the peoples in Islamic lands. And you ought to remember that. That means submission. All right, we'll take you out here with some Uncle Tupelo looking for a way out. Actually, let's take you out with a little bit of comedy. We need comedy on dark days. Thanks for listening to the show. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back in 2 days. Hope you have a great one. Kelly O'Connell, ciao.
The fun thing, though, about being a comedian, I like hanging out with my friends. I got a buddy of mine. His name's Luis Gomez. And me and Luis went to McDonald's to eat recently. And we both go. We ordered our food. And then we take our food and we sit down at our table. And then Lewis went to the bathroom, so he left me alone with his food. So I was like, I'm going to play a prank on him, you know. So I grabbed his hamburger, I unwrapped it, I took a bite out of it, and I wrapped it back up. I put it back down on his tray. So that's my big prank. Like when he comes back and opens his burger, I was like, dude, did they eat your burger before they gave it to you? That's crazy, right? Is that crazy? It's a ridiculous prank. It's dumb. It's harmless. It should never leave the table. What should happen is Lewis should just come back. He should open his burger, and his first reaction should be to look at his best friend he's sitting with